J.R. Kahn, we will talk with Rajinder Saini, Christian Borgermeister, who incidentally is co-organizing this symposium, and Baldwin Torto. So, I will indicate that two minutes left, okay?
How do you change here?
The laser beam?
This laser?
Here?
Oh, and this is...
This is the recording device, so you leave it there.
You change this.
Off
from here.
Okay?
Good morning to all of you. Thanks for inviting me to deliver this talk. My work is more it is being used in the field. How the farmers in Africa are taking advantage of the research in chemical ecology. And this conference was co-organized by Christian Borgermeister, who is not going to be here, but he will be having a video conferencing this sometime today. Giving a little bit background of International Center of Insect Physiology and Ecology, the founder director was Professor Thomas Odhiambo, the great African scientist. The present director general is Christian Borgermeister, and chair of governing council is John Pickett, who is also a chemical ecologist. ECP is an international center which has got 4H paradigm. It is plant health, animal health, environmental health, and human health. They all are integrated together. Africa is facing hunger and difficulty in feeding its own population. The production in Africa is less than a ton per hectare, whereas if you compare to other continents, it is more than 2.5 tons per hectare. The major production constraints are pest, weeds, and degraded soil. And therefore, growth in agriculture production is essential to end hunger and poverty in the continent. One of the other reasons for the poverty in Africa is African animal trypanosomiasis, which is very widespread. And today's my presentation will be both, part one will be on the agricultural pest, and part two will be Dr. Saini's work, which is on the African animal trypanosomiasis. I will start about my own work, which is on cereal stem borers in Africa, which I started 18 years ago in Africa. And it was on maize mainly, but also in other cereals. They cause 15% yield loss in maize, and the annual loss to stem borers is $1.5 billion only in the maize, which is corn. But if we put together all the cereals, it could exceed about $7 billion per year. We started looking into the natural system and also looking into the agricultural system, and we started looking into the benefits of wild hosts, like grasses, and most of the stem borers have evolved with the grasses, and we found that the grasses could be very important refugia for natural enemies as well as sources for the alternate host and prey, and many of them are could be also suppress the population of the pest, mainly the stem borers. So we started looking into grasses and trying to see whether they should be considered as the weeds or natural resources, and can we use some of the grasses to control the pest and also to develop them as a fodder for the cattle. And we started doing the survey. We looked into 600 species of grasses throughout East Africa, belonging to the family Poaceae, Typhaceae, and Cypressae, and tried to look into their association with various stem borers, and came up with a very long list of stem borers and the grasses association, and tried to see that how specifically they could be associated with them. And based on our work, we divided into grasses into three categories. One of the grasses were highly attractive to the stem borer egg laying, where others, and also for larval developments, the other group was highly attractive for the egg laying, but unsuitable for larval developments. And third group was repellent, actually, and was not preferred for egg laying. We immediately went back to the farmers who were, this was initially when I arrived in Africa in 1994, and with the help of a local social scientist, and I started discussing with the mostly women farmers and men farmers and trying to find out if we develop a technology based on the use of the grasses to control the pest, will the farmers will be interested in using them to control the pest as well as using them as a fodder. Very useful information came out from a lot of farmers' meetings and our own work on the in the lab, and we selected a grass which was called Napier grass and Penicetum purpureum, which is an African grass, a perennial fodder, and we had found that it is highly attractive to egg laying by the stem borers, 5 times more than the maize, but not suitable for development. And the farmers, we are already growing it as to feed the cattle. So we discussed the farmers, can they grow more of that and benefit from them to control the pest as well as to feed the cattle. But we went and collected the world collection of the Napier grass and brought them at one place and tested them for egg laying by the stem borer and the development, and found several of them which were highly attractive for the egg laying but least suitable for development. And we did a lot of work with several students, published paper, but also selected with the help of the farmers the varieties which could be highly preferred by the farmers to feed the cattle. This is how it shows that about 70% of the larvae could survive on maize, but only less than 20% could survive on various species of the stem borers. There is, on the various species of the Napier grass. Some of the students, what we discovered that the Napier grass produces a gummy substance, and that gummy substance results in the death of the first instar larvae as soon as it penetrates into the stem. We looked into the reason that why the Napier grass is more attractive to the egg laying by the stem borers as compared to the maize, and found that certain compounds like hexanol, Z3 hexanol, hexanol acetate, these were the chemicals which were produced by the Napier grass at the beginning of the ascotophase in very high quantities, which was absent from the maize, and these were responsible for attraction to the females, gravid females of the stem borers, and they were produced at the beginning of the scotophase when the stem borer females were most active. So what we did, that with the help of farmers in East Africa, we planted some of these Napier grass varieties around the maize, and we worked with the farmers to demonstrate them that when the stem borers invaded the field, most of them preferred to lay their egg on the border Napier grass, leaving the maize with less number of eggs. And this was how it looked like. And farmers not only reduced the Napier grass, damage on the maize by planting the Napier grass, but also found the Napier grass as a very good source of fodder for the cattle. The other plants we discovered was molasses grass. It was repulsive, and it repelled the stem borer larvae. They pushed away from the, if they were planted in between the corn. And this is how the farmers planted, one after each 10 row of maize. And it not only repelled the stem borer, but also attracted the natural enemies, which was Cotacea sesami, which is naturally present there. and it produced five major compounds, and two of them were very important, dimethyl, nonatrine, and osimine. These are the SOS chemicals which molasses grass produced without being damaged, and it repelled, not only repelled the stem borers, but also attracted the natural enemies in the field. And our study suggested that this could be used in the natural control of the stem borers, and at present several thousand farmers are using it to reduce the stem borer damage from their field. But also molasses grass is a good fodder and anti-tick plant, which many farmers are taking advantage of that. Then we discovered another plant, which was a legume, Desmodium uncinatum, which was also found to repel the stem borers more than any other legume which we intercropped with the maize. And these are the perennial plants from South America, which were brought in Africa 50 years ago, and important cattle feed in East Africa, and they can fix a high level of nitrogen in the field. And our discovery showed that when the Napier grass was planted with the maize, it reduced not only the stem borer and effectively reduced the oviposition, but also controlled another pest, which is weed, which is called Striga. I am not going to describe it here, but that was a pink flower you see on your right-hand side, where maize is produced, planted as a control, and that is another major weed, parasitic weed, which reduces the yield. But we were able to control both of them together. But then we synthesized a push-pull strategy, where we put a attractive plant and repellent plant here on the border. There was attractive plant. In the middle, there is a Desmodium uncinatum, which is a repellent plant, also fixes nitrogen, and the system gives 3.5 times more yield. And these are all the chemistry which we have done with our own labs and with Rothamsted experimental station in UK, and which shows that how the push-pull system is working. And the yields, as I told, 2.5 times or more, 3.5 times or more in different areas consistently. We are still looking into the yield in various districts, not only in Kenya, but also other parts of East Africa. The economics of the push-pull system was highly economical. Return to the labor and gross benefits were very high for the system as compared to maize monocrop or maize and beans, which farmers generally plant. And the system provides livestock fodder. The farmers combine the legume and the Napier grass and feed to the cattle. More than 3,000 farmers out of 46,000 farmers who adopted push-pull have benefited from Haifa International program, and they have goats and dairy cows, they are benefiting not only for high yield but also from the milk. And there are various benefits of the system, not only to control the pest problem, but also improved cattle health, the increased biodiversity and conservation of biodiversity, empowerment of women, because they take care of the fodder part and the milk part, and improved soil health. We are working directly with more than 46,000 farmers, and this season, by end of this year, we'll have more than 50,000 farmers who have adopted. Most of the farmers have a GPS location, and it is on our website. We started working with the farmers in 1997 to now. This is how the number of farmers increased. Recently, what we are discovering, we are still working on the system, and we are discovering that certain African grasses can produce defense against herbivore insect in response to egg laying, and even before the feeding starts. And we are taking advantage of that, and we can see that certain grasses could switch off and switch on the production of the volatiles. And also inform the neighboring plant about the damage. And we are trying to adopt the push-pull system to the climate change, and this discovery will be very, very important, where the farmers will not be using the pesticide at all. And we have been got a large grant from European Union, and we are trying to adopt the push-pull system to dry conditions. So we are selecting the grasses which could survive the drought, and also the legume which could survive the drought, and bring the system to the farmers who live in the areas where drought is a problem. We are also looking into the chemistry of those plants, where the plants could change the chemistry after egg laying, and some of the plants could show the early herbivore. Even on the maize, we have now discovered the maize plants, not only the grasses, which could change the chemistry after egg laying of the plant and could inform the neighboring plant. And we are trying to exploit plant-to-plant communication, where molasses grass and the maize interaction we are studying, and the molasses grass could induce the defense in the maize, and maize can start producing the nonatrine and osimine and can defend itself. And this is some of the work. I don't want to go in much of the detail, but our aim is to develop a smarter push-pull system for the farmers who live in dry areas, and we are looking for the pull plants or the border plants which we'll be using. They should be able to detect the egg laying by the stem borer and could deliver that information to the maize plant, so maize plant could also prepare and defend itself against the pest. The other part of the work is the human African trypanosomiasis, and this is the work from the colleague in Africa, and the work also has led to development of a push-pull system for African human trypanosomiasis. And it is a disease which is transmitted by SSA fly, and about 60 million people are exposed to HAT, and 3 million carriers suffer to various extents. This is one of the reasons of the poverty, because people who are suffering cannot work in the field. And there are two species of the SSA flies which carries the disease in West Africa, and the other one in Eastern and Southern Africa. ECP had developed a SSA trap which was based on the color and cow urine. The SSA flies are attracted to the cow urine, to the color, and then the short range attractants were cow urine, and they were trapped, and they were killed there. And this technology is very good for the farmers, not for the for these Maasai farmers who move from with the cattle from place to place in search of pasture, and they are not suited for pastoralist because they need a moving technology. So what ECP did that they looked for the for the animals which live in the same SSA ecology, but they are not bitten by the SSA flies, and extracted the volatiles produced by some of these animals, like zebras and water buck, and identified the chemicals, and based on that, they developed a kind of which were
assay,
and also dispensers. Dispensers which were used and put in the neck of the animals, and these dispensers produced the chemicals and reduced the incidence of the SSA flies. And the system of was developed, push and pull system was developed, where the dispensers push the tsetse flies and these traps pull them. So based on that, there was a significant reduction in the tsetse flies and the which were biting the animals and also in the disease. This technology is mobile, and the animals wear the repellent where it goes, and the reduction in the morbidity among the cattle. And it is simple and requires the minimum maintenance, and the drug use was reduced, and the animals can graze wherever they want, and animals are more restful when they are grazing, and can be protected against other biting flies. And the goats and humans are also protected against human flies, and it has no side effect, and the community participation is not essential, which was very much essential in the blue trap which was produced before, where each farmer had to use it at that time. And I'm going to finish here, and thank you very much.
Time for questions now. I've been informed that this is recorded, and so I would ask the speaker to repeat the question for the benefit of the recording device.
Okay.
Any questions from the floor? Yes.
Yes, the question which was asked that the chemicals which are produced by napier grass are common green volatiles which are produced by most of the chemicals, most of the plants, and but why it is more attractive, insects are more attractive to the napier grass. It is the quantity of the chemical which was produced by the napier grass. When we looked at the quantity, it was about 100 times more in the first 2 hours of the ascotophase as compared to the maize. Although maize is also producing, but several of these grasses, at the first 2 to 3 hours of ascotophase, they produced very large quantities of these chemicals, and that makes it more attractive to the stem borers at that time when the stem borers are more active for egg-laying.
Question? Yep.
Yeah, thank you very much for that perfect example of playing with the community. I had a question with a kind of mechanistic question about the nature grasses associated with the previous question. If you would intercrop the nature grass with the corn, would it still be efficient, or is it then
The question was, can we intercrop the napier grass with the maize, and will the system be still effective? When we do the work with the in the skin houses and in inside the cages, we put them side by side and do the bioassay, and it is still effective. But in actual field, what we have found that if it is less than 75 centimeter, there is a great competition between napier grass and the maize. Also, the napier grass is more kind of a perennial plant, and being a perennial plant, older it becomes, there is more competition with the maize, because maize is a seasonal plant. So we avoid doing that. Whereas in the repellent plant, which is Desmodium, is also a perennial plant, but the competition is much less as compared to napier grass.
Yes, question?
I think briefly mentioned, but when you
Yes. The question was if we intercrop maize with the beans, does it change the profile of the chemicals produced by the maize? It was not the Napier grass, it was another grass which was molasses grass. When the molasses grass is planted next to maize, the molasses grass produces osimin and nonatrin. And after 3 days after putting them together, the maize starts also producing the same chemicals and becomes repulsive to egg laying by these stem borers.
Question, Nara?
Is there any evidence that the abundance of these stem borers has declined at rural in areas where there's widespread adoption of this technology versus areas where it doesn't
have? Yes, the question was where the adoption was high, was there any change in the behavior of the stem borers? Abundance of the stem borers, yes. Every 3 years we have a master's student who is looking into the population of the stem borers in the areas where there is high adoption. And we are finding that in the areas where there is very high adoption of the farmers, there is a lower stem borers damage on the maize. But also we are looking into whether the system is becoming susceptible or there is any change in the behavior of the insect because of doing that. And we have not found any change yet. But every 3 years we get a master's student who goes to the field and spends about 6 months and comes back and does the work.
Other questions? I have one. I'm curious. First of all, based on your tremendous success with the plants, now you seem to attack the tsetse fly problem. But somehow down the line, will you be restricted by ethical protocols when you will have to test this on human subjects?
I can't answer that question because it is being undertaken by another scientist. But the work on the tsetse fly even started before we started the push-pull in the maize. And that is an older program at ECP. But most of their work is not on human, it is on animal.
Okay.
Animals. So they are mostly concerned with the animals, testing on the animals. I think they should be taking care of those human protocols when they will do it. But I can't answer you that question directly. Yes. Yeah.
Other questions from the floor? If not, thank you very much. This session will resume at 9:20. Thank you very much.